Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We give, we do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Minnesota Vikings fans, the Purple People Eaters podcast returns. I'm Chris, he's Aaron, and we're here to discuss everything to do with our beloved Minnesota Vikings football squad. Obviously, the draft just got wrapped up. We had to shut her down with the long snapper. We were just that's actually the one draft pick that we were talking about before. I'm not kidding either. We were just talking about how it's nice to know you got a long snapper all set up. You know, it's nice to have the best long snapper in the draft, like my co-host Aaron just said. So, obviously, the NFL draft is over. I believe it started last week sometime. Maybe like a 98-hour stretch. No, they really stretch it out now. But we got to be pretty damn happy. Spielman's happy because he got 13 picks. So, I mean, the guy got 17 picks, and he's still like, man, I felt like I left something on the board there. He still feels like he left something on the board. But anyway, just so you guys know, we are back with the Purple People Eaters podcast. We've been off a little bit, you know, ever since free agency as far as the Vikings talk. And this will be our last show until August. So as far as, you know, Vikings talk, the Purple People Eaters podcast. So we'll give you some details about what we plan on doing during the preseason. We're going to have a couple of shows previewing the season and catching up with preseason and the roster and whatnot, the final 53 count cut and all that good stuff. So we're definitely going to have about three shows before the Vikes kick it off in September. And, you know, I just remembered they released the schedule. So we got to remember to talk about the schedule later in the show. But obviously, we got to talk about all 37 picks. And no, really, it felt like 37 picks. I think we just owned the seventh round. I wish we just got to the point where we had every pick in the seventh round. And it's like, all right, the board is ours, gentlemen. You know, luckily we did get a cornerback. So we helped out old One-Eyed Jack there at the head coaching position. We got a bunch of picks. So Spielman's happy. Now, are the fans happy? And I'd say they are. You know, we got ourselves a center, a tight end, a running back, and then a variety of players after that. Mainly the long snappers. What we're going to go X's and O's on this guy. We're going to go X's and O's on the long snapper. We're definitely going to break down a variety of these picks, especially the top chunk of picks. We're going to really focus in on those first three, but overall, we're definitely going to break it down. Did the Vikes fill enough holes? You know, has the offensive line been rebuilt enough? It seems like it's coming together nicely. We're going to break this thing down, as best as possible. I'm going to go ahead and check in with my co-host Aaron before we get to the sponsors and all that good stuff. What's going on, Aaron? How the hell are you? Do we have a seventh round pick still? I'm not quite sure.
I think we're still on the board for 2021 at the moment. Yeah, I think we should push the show back a little bit just to keep with the theme of trading back. Maybe get a couple sandwiches out of the deal, maybe a six-pack of beer or something. You know, so we'll just move it back another couple hours and see what happens. But in all seriousness, I really think that trading down with the financial situation that they're in, I really think they wanted to get as many sixth and seventh round draft picks so they could not compete for the undrafted free agents that maybe they were looking after. And they did actually sign quarterback Jake Browning out of Washington. I always liked him. I thought he was a good player. I don't know why he wasn't drafted. But, yeah, they picked him up, which surprised me. Saw that about a half an hour ago. So now you can throw him into the mix, and then we can go into an hour breaking down Austin Cutting, a long snapper out of Air Force.
It sucks that that's his name, Cutting, because it's like, dude, when you get picked that late, you might be getting the cutting. Although not for a long snapper, though, because generally speaking, as we know, long snappers don't get drafted. So, yeah, we got at least an hour. That's a good call. We're going to be back at about 10 o'clock. We're going to push it back. We're going to fall back into the draft. Just kidding, of course. That is funny, though. I like that. I like that a lot. So if this is your first time listening to the Blue Leaders podcast, welcome. It's kind of a one and done. We're going to be back in early August, right after, you know, hopefully right after, at least a couple of days after the first preseason game. But the Purple Leaders podcast resides right here, and you can find it all over the place. I'm going to list off a couple of different ones, but it resides right here live on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. Okay, so it's under the Ropeadope Radio umbrella. That's football, that's basketball, that's boxing, of course. So, you know, you can subscribe right there at blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. If you become a follower, you can get the emails so you know that we're having a show. Otherwise, you can check out the Purple People Eaters podcast at the Ropeadope Radio podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn. We definitely get a lot of listens from TuneIn, Player FM. A lot of people like the way that's set up, that website for podcasts, set up, Player FM, we definitely should definitely go there. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network that just keeps growing and growing and growing. You can find the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network everywhere, iTunes, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher. You can also stream it on iHeartRadio, on Spotify. You know, with Siri and Alexa, you could say, hey, through TuneIn or Spotify, hey, get me to the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network and put on the Purple People Eaters podcast and do it snappy. I paid a lot for you. But anyway, while you're at it, I got another place that you can listen to it right there at thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's football, boxing, baseball, basketball, everything in between. You can listen to the podcast right there. You can also read articles from the past and present having to do with football and a variety of other subjects. And while you're at it, you can add it, a link you right to mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. And one more thing before we sink our teeth all the way into this raw meat that we got here in over 17,000 picks that we got today, most of them seventh rounders. I got a deal for you. It's a 2-in-1. Okay, so the first part of the DirecTV Now deal is just straight up, but then there's a layer that gives you a deal as well. So if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you have, or you're just kind of in between on it, you know, obviously today to watch the draft, the last couple of days, that was on ESPN. Obviously, a lot of the playoffs for NBA is on ESPN. Game of Thrones is on HBO. This all ties together. Just hang with me. DirecTV Now, you can actually, the plan started as low as $50, and there's no annual contract. In fact, you have a 7-day free trial if you want to take it. You can stream it anywhere, your smart TV, your smartphone, your tablet. It has cloud DVR. Like I said, those plans start as low as $50 a month. That includes 40 channels. And if you do the plus or the max, which starts right at that 50, HBO is thrown right in there. We're on episode 3. It's coming to a close if you haven't found out. So this gives you the rest of the NBA playoffs, cable, HBO, the whole nine. And it's a pretty damn good deal. For those boxing fans out there, it's only $11 for Showtime in this deal. So DirecTV Now, straight up, that's the deal, okay? There's no annual contract either, so you don't have to lock in super long or anything like that. Now, here's the kicker. If you prepay 4 months, so that's about $200, right? They basically, DirecTV Now throws in an Apple TV 4K, fifth generation. Maybe you have a fourth generation. Maybe you got an old Roku. Either way, with that 4 month prepay, so that's $200. And remember, the Apple TV 4K is regularly priced at $179. No, that's not $1.79, $179. So you get 4 months of cable with it. So it's a pretty damn good deal, okay? That's 4 months prepay. Otherwise, starting at $50 a month, DirecTV Now. Check it out. Okay, let's get in to this freaking draft. And obviously, you know, everybody in the state, in the five-state region besides Wisconsin, was looking at an offensive line. And we need offensive line help. It's not a secret. Now, I think, you know, we did talk about some of the items free agent-wise, how we did bring in Klein as a starting guard on the right side. He's a guy that's, 44 or 46 or 48 games in a row. He's pretty damn solid. He probably fits the system, I'd assume. Otherwise, they did. You know, if they weren't happy with it, they could have spent money on a bigger name instead of bringing Barr back. So obviously they had some money there to get to somebody, and they gave it to Barr and were happy with Klein coming in. So I like what they did there, but a lot of people were just like, bring us an offensive lineman. And once we started getting into the draft, and once the New York Giants picked Daniel Jones because some sort of Manning Duke coach thing, I don't know why they picked that guy that early. I mean, God bless him. But that helped us out a little bit. There were a couple of picks that kind of jumped up, and you did have that Boston College guard. And when I saw that go, I thought, oh, man, you know, that was one of them. That definitely was one of them. But then it came down to just a handful of offensive linemen, probably about three or four, because I think that, yeah, there was four others, I think, that got drafted after the guy we got, Garrett Bradbury from NC State. He's the center. He's a guy that is not a huge, huge guy at 305 or whatever, but that zone, you know, that zone machine that we were going to run, the scheme, you know, he's all about it. And he's just a technician. You know, I did hear about this guy for a while, and it did look like we were kind of, you know, zoning in on him. And he is a guy that actually early in his career at NC State for about 9 months was moved to defensive line because the offseason in the spring game, I guess they had a lot of injuries. And what it did was it got him in shape, because here he was on the defensive line with all these dudes who are really in shape, who are quicker, faster, more athletic. And I guess that's what he was talking about, how it just really sharpened him up as a player. I really like it. You know, it sounds like, especially with a rookie, it sounds like they're going to play him at his natural position, center, although he did play guard and whatnot a couple years ago, but he's been a starter at that position for quite some time. And it does sound like Pat Elflein is going to move to guard a place where he played his last couple of years at Ohio State. So more of a natural position, that left guard. And it pretty much adds up. his rookie year, he played pretty damn good, did Pat, at center. Last year, we know all the offseason issues that he had. He wasn't able to have an offseason, really, and then just had the lineup and some of the defensive tackles that we faced. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty for him. But, you know, I think he's going to be comfortable there regardless. I'm going to go ahead and pass it off to my co-host, Aaron. Aaron, what do you think of this guy, that the center position, he's got to be smart, he's got to be tough. It really looks like this guy checks all the boxes.
It does look like he checks out all the boxes. I didn't spend a great deal of time watching South Carolina football, but I, you know, doing some reading and checking up on just what kind of player he is, he seems like he's the kind of interior lineman with some quickness and a little bit of toughness to him that can reach a linebacker in the second level, which is what you want, maybe get a good turn on somebody. Seems like from the interviews I've seen, like a pretty stand-up guy, solid guy. Looks like he's excited to come up here and join the offensive line. As I was watching the draft, you know, I started thinking, because I was kind of paying like cursory attention to it for the first round, those first 10, 12 picks, just kind of seeing, you know, walking around, doing stuff around the house, looking in and seeing who got who. And, you know, I was waiting and waiting, and then, you know, I was thinking, well, we can – go, are we going to go guard center, or are we going to go tackle? You know, who's available and what's going on? And then I was waiting for this impending run that eventually, you know, had to come on linemen. And I was,
right,
you know, with the Viking, the way Vikings fans are, we're just like, it's going to happen like six picks before our pick, and it's just going to be a run on it. And then I saw Atlanta take the Lindstrom kid, who I thought was in our wheelhouse, somebody that we might have wanted to pick. And then I said, well, here's where the run's going to start. But then after that, it just seemed like, you know, everybody was taking defensive players. It was a very deep, talented defensive draft. And so, you know, we ended up getting, I think, Bradbury now. Obviously, we did get Bradbury, but I'm not sure if he was the first choice or the second choice. Of course, they sold it as him being the first choice and had a few anecdotes about how much they liked him. And, you know, he's an offensive lineman. He's a guard, a center. Play him at center, I guess, and then elf line. You know, how do you? I'm just kind of sore on the moving positions thing now with what happened with Remmers. I'm not exactly sure that that's the best thing to do, but you got to do something with elf line. And turns out the run came top of the second round. And, you know, if elf line can come back healthy, he got two injuries on the same side of his body. So he had a rough season last year. So hopefully his off season, he's got in shape and he's feeling a little bit better. Maybe play him at guard, keep Reese at tackle. And then we got that other big tackle, which we'll talk about in a little bit. I'm really excited about him. He's big from small school, but he seems like the kind of tackle, maybe he sits for a year or plays in spot duty, that might help us out.
I know what you mean about the moving, you know, pieces around, and that's definitely why I didn't want to do that with Riley. You know what I mean? Because he's played in the league now for quite some time at that position. And when you've kind of developed for so long into that, and same with Remmers was doing that. And then when we just had a change, it's like, all right, dude, now do this. And sometimes it works out. Sometimes it's horrible. And I would, you know, probably say it was horrible. You know what I mean? It was not a good look. You know, at least it's an interior lineman, you know what I mean? So he's already a center. It gives you depth with that, you know, either one of them, including who's the guy that we got from the Giants that we re-signed this year? Jones, Brett Jones. He played center as well. So at least we do have some depth there. And I do think when you're maneuvering, at least center to guard is not such a difference like, you know, a center to tackle or a guard to tackle. And I think that the fact that he won the best, much like this guy, now we have in the last two out of three drafts, we have the, you know, the award winning anyway, you know, for the best college offensive lineman. So, was it just center? I can't remember. But, you know, that says something. So the fact that Pat did it a couple of years ago, so he basically, long story short, he got drafted playing guard at Ohio State. That's what he got drafted on. That's what he was based in the last handful of years. So I don't think it's that extreme. Now, you could say, well, this is at the pro level. And, of course, yeah, definitely. But and I've heard him even talk about it originally, him saying, you know, it just you go back to that position and you just, you know, and obviously this isn't anything new. You see this at college level as well. I think you can get away with it in college, obviously, more. But to me, I think it'll probably – I'm high on it. Let's put it that way. Am I, like, you know, 100% sold on it? No, but I think this is going to work. And if you look at the line now, the rebuilt line, and by the way, it's the first interior, I think, guard lineman that the Vikings, because obviously, you know, Khalil was the last offensive lineman that we had drafted in the first round since 1988. It's the first time in the first round we selected a guard or an inside play. No, yeah, just, yeah, not a tackle, basically. Interior offensive lineman since Randall McDaniel. And he was pretty good. If I remember correctly, I believe I remember a guy with a funky stance. And, boy, it sure didn't look like his stance was going to give him, you know, what he needed. But he was a hell of a player, man. So, but I'll say this, you know, it just lines up a little better. But when you look at it, we now have O'Neal, who should be better. He played a chunk of time as the season went on. Then there were some games that you thought, okay, wow, you know, that was pretty damn good. Now, you know, he struggled, but he was a rookie. He was a little undersized. He's more, you know, to the fit. And let's hope we keep, you know, and Kubiak, if he hangs around for a couple of years, or Stefanski, if he gets hired in a year or two, let's hope we just keep the same type of offense. So therefore we can just, you know, that's what Spielman, you know, was saying that. And it's like it's nice to know what we're going to get rather than changing these guys or like Remmer moving them around. I like what we got there. O'Neal should improve. You know, we didn't move Riley out of the, you know, out of his position. He's okay. He's a little bit better than serviceable, especially if you get some help on the line in general, if they can glue together. And when you look at Klein, he's a solid, I mean, 46 starts in a row. He's just going to be there. And obviously he's a fit for the, you know, system. Otherwise, like I said, I think they would have, because they knew what they had to do, I think they would have actually went out there and decided to spend the money in other places. They did decide to spend it in other places. But I just like, you know, if this guy could come in and be at least like average to just a slightly above average, somewhere in there, basically what Pat was able to do, you know, in his rookie year. If he can come in there, you move Pat over, we know Elfline's going to be better this year. I mean, I shouldn't say that because he is playing a different position, but as far as strength, confidence, the whole nine, and remember, they're all learning a new system, and they're about to really install it here in the coming weeks with rookie cap kicking in. So I, for one, and then we do have some depth, the Jones, the Isadora, it starts with the D. We did get a guy who's played at least with Denver. At least we got some depth now, and we are going to talk about a little bit more depth that we brought in. But what do you think of the somewhat rebuilt line? I believe it's coming together nicely here, at least from last year anyway. How confident are you going into the season now with what we got, sir?
Fairly confident, I guess. More confident than I was prior to the draft, just simply because of numbers. In fact, I would have liked maybe a couple more flyers on some offensive linemen, which might happen in free agency here. You know, looking at a line where you start right guard, O'Neal, this Klein guy probably on that side, Bradbury at center, Elfline at guard, and Reef at tackle for the time being. You know, we had to shore up the inside of that line. It was not good at all with Compton and Remmers in there. And so I think we did a decent job of at least getting some potential in there to do that. You know, it's tough to say really because hanging over our heads is this guy in Chicago named Khalil Mack, and he just destroyed us last year. And we're going to have to face him again two times. And I think the whole division is sort of looking at that. Tougher guys with a little bit more metal to them to handle a beast like that. And, you know, I like the tackle that we got out of Elon. I guess I don't want to pronounce his whole name, but he's going by Oli Uda. And I didn't know anything about him until I started looking into him after we drafted him. And he's a big kid. Looks like he's got some quickness to him. Played at a small school, so it's hard to tell level of competition. Like you said, he might be a project. But I think we're starting to look in the way that we need to kind of to neutralize those defensive lines that we had such a hard time with. Of course, the scheme change is going to help do that. We're going to be getting out pulling, moving guys with a zone blocking scheme, which will help a little bit, but you still got to pass protect when that time comes. And so I think, you know, overall, to answer your question, I'm cautiously optimistic. There's a long off season. Any injury could happen, knock on wood. You know, maybe a guy just doesn't pan out. But I think we did a good job at least adding some quality depth and maybe get a starter or two out of it.
Yeah, I think I'm there. I'm not saying, hey, man, we're going to be top five. Let's get back to being able to, you know, run the ball second in attempts, you know, or something like that. I feel better than I did last year or at the end of this year. I feel like we're going to be better there, whether it is the system, whether it's the new bodies, a variety of that. I think offline's going to be okay there. And like I said, now we have a minor bit of depth. And let's see, like you said, you know, what some of these other guys as well that we brought in. And potentially, you know, not just free agencies, you know, free agents that didn't get drafted. But, you know, there can be some cuts that happen, whether it's seeing a guy through the first chunk of mini camps or, you know, a couple of weeks into the you know, training camp. We see that, you know, guys aren't just going to make the roster. And for whatever reason, someone's up against the cap, variety of things. Obviously, we're going to have to give somebody guaranteed money and take a little cap money off here and there, of somebody. But we'll all righty. Aaron, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, man. I don't know what happened.
Wow. I'm not sure. There could have been some military. I do live by the airport, and that happens every once in a while. Maybe there was like a military plane that came over, but usually that just drops the show in general. But some sort of blip came through. That was kind of crazy, dude. I've never had that weird blip, because then all of a sudden I just heard my voice in my earphones, and that's it. And then I saw you come back, and then so okay, we're good though. We're good. We're gonna be okay. We're gonna be okay. Thank goodness. I really thought we were screwed there. We're definitely gonna get to the tight end, the running back, the you know, guards and tackles, and we're definitely gonna get to a variety more of these picks that we got. I did want to. What was I going to? I kind of lost my shit there for a second. I lost my train of thought.
Well,
I had a point. Maybe it'll come back. Go ahead.
Well, I guess we can take a look at the overall draft before we start breaking down individual players. I thought it was interesting that we only had three defensive players selected out of 12 picks. I know Zimmer didn't like it. He tweeted something or said something about it. He wasn't happy about not getting defensive players. But, you know, I think he's just going to have to hold it because in the last few seasons it's been a heavy defense in the draft. And I think this is about right time to start loading up for some offensive depth. I think that was a sort of a weakness of our team. We paid a lot of attention for about 4 years to just defensive things, and it's paid off. Our defense is in the top five in the league. But now it's time to do something about the offense. I think the defensive players we did get are guys that can be worked with. I especially like that safety we got out of Wyoming.
We needed a safety. We lost Sendejo, and I thought, you know, Harris came up through depth, and maybe that's something this Epps kid can do as well, to spend a couple years, or maybe, you know, maybe sure. He flashes. You never know. But then, you know, we got a defensive tackle. Like, here's the thing. I haven't seen a lot of these guys play. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I have. I'm just looking at some film that I see, maybe reading a little bit, maybe just getting a look at, you know, physically what they look like. And, you know, Chris Boyd out of Texas, cornerback, he's about 6 foot. So it fits the traits that Zimmer likes in his defensive backs and his defensive tackles.
Long arms.
And so I think long arms, you know.
Long arms.
You got to be tall. He doesn't want any 5'9 corners. So, you know, I think they hit what they wanted to hit as far as defensively. Got a linebacker in there, which I think maybe turns out to be a bit of special teams. I thought we really did a good job of focusing on guys that could potentially play special teams. So I thought, you know, I'd like to see a defensive tackle a little higher in the draft. But, you know, just coming away with some bodies, I think we've got depth there and a nice rotation. We'll see what happens when we get into the season. But, yeah, I've highlighted a few guys that we can talk about. Your overall impressions on the draft.
Yeah, I mean, based off those three picks and, you know, just looking at what we had for this day, and obviously it turned into even more pushing it back. I like what we did. I do remember seeing Boyd play. I do remember some of these guys, you know, play a fair amount. I don't remember the Wyoming kid. I definitely remember the Boise State, the running back that we'll get to in a second, and the guard we got with Oklahoma. I definitely know him. But, yeah, Boyd, that cornerback, I've definitely seen him a fair amount. Same with that Dillian Mitchell from Oregon, the wideout. I've definitely seen him play. He might be able to make the team. One real quick before we move on. But overall, I just like what we did so early. I do know what you're saying about defensive tackle. Spielman did address some of that, talking about the guy out of Ohio State and how he's put on some weight, and they feel like he's going to be able to be ready to probably be the pass rusher, being that the defensive tackle that we brought in is more of a run stuffer. But overall, I like what we did. I'm not a draft expert per se, right? And the X's and O's, you know, and all that. I like you said, if you don't get to see these guys so much, you know, it is tough. But hopefully some of these secondary players in that safety, I thought you made a good point about special teams. It's definitely something I wanted to talk about as well. You know, hopefully we can get something there. But that Chris Boyd, I do remember him making a fair amount of plays, especially when Texas has slowly but surely gotten their defense in order rather than the last couple of years where they were just a sieve. Real quick, I did, and I think I said this to you, I wanted to see some highlights, but not just – I watched the highlights of a couple of these players, like, you know, Garrett Bradbury. I remember them talking about it for NC State when he was playing some teams, and they did have a better year than, you know, on paper than what they thought. Not that he had everything to do with it, but I was able to find some footage of these, what turns out to be like amateur scouts who are like part-time scouts that are, I think they're trying to become full-time scouts. They're a bit younger guys, and they're kind of just, I mean, the commentary is kind of funny, kind of dumb, whatever. But then one dude played offensive lineman, and the way he broke down the tape, and it was definitely more of the coach's, you know, tape, that you're actually looking at it from the proper angles. And that's what I think is funny sometimes when you're watching a game on television, how much you miss. Now, of course, you can see who blew up the play or certain mistakes, but even from the angle we see on TV, sometimes the mistakes that look like it's this person's, it's actually we may not know the play or the angle didn't allow us to see it. And especially like wide receivers. I mean, a lot of times you don't even see them run their route. So how can you sit there and tell me who ran the route properly if we're just looking at the side of the play?
So this one, they broke it down, and like I said, you could tell this guy had played offensive lineman. And the way he broke down that tape of Bradbury versus Clemson, too. It's two games against Clemson, and you know, this year and last year, and he did a hell of a job. They even said, you know, at the Senior Bowl, those one-on-one where you're playing these nasty defense tackles, and it's just the center and the guards and whatnot, it's really not fair when it's just an open space, just one-on-one. But when you're in the scheme, when you're in the moment, when you're in these small little areas, you can tell he does a lot of steadiness. Like the guard will kind of, he'll kind of help the guard out, shove the guy. They kept talking about horizontal, you know, and that does have a lot to do with what the system's about. And obviously playing on the line too, but he would help out the guard, jam that dude, and then go get the linebacker. Or, you know, he's really sealing stuff really well. You know, the technique is definitely there. And that's about all I can go deep on. I'm not watching the actual tape over and over again. These guys knew a little bit more or a lot more that way. But I thought it was interesting to watch that because of who he was going against every single time. And, I mean, three out of those four guys were scheduled to go in the first round last year, and the whole squad came back. So that's some tape I could actually spend a little bit of time looking at and going, okay, wow, I see what they're saying. But let's move on. Irv Smith Jr., okay, a tight end out of Alabama. Now, my guess is when you play for Alabama and Coach Saban, my guess is you're going to be able to know how to block fairly well. Now, they had Tua this year and late last year, but especially this year. So they actually did pass a little bit more than in recent time. And a couple of years ago, they had a more passing quarterback too. So they got the tight end. They had this OJ, I can't remember his last name, but it was from several years ago. And he was there. He was productive, but not system that they still have. They hit up the tight end a whole lot. And this guy was a big play guy. It seems like he could give you fullback. It seems like he could pass block. It seems like he could run block. Seems like he's got a, you know, some pretty damn good ball skills. I'm not going to sit there and say he's ready to be a top 10 tight end just second, but it seems like he's going to not be lost blocking, and he's a little bit different with a little bit more speed, a little bit more athleticism than Rudolph. So the way they sold it to us with Irv Smith, I mean, this guy broke the tight end record for Alabama. Now that should be, you know, you got to preference it by that because they had a lot of blocking tight ends as well. So it's not like they've always featured. You think they would because they run so much, but they actually like to stretch the field way deep down, run, 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 hit them up late, kind of like the Miami Hurricanes in the late 80s. They did that all the time. But I like what we got here for two reasons, Aaron. One, we've been looking for that other tight end for quite some time, and Rudolph, with all his injuries, has slowed down. He can catch the shit out of the ball. He's a solid player. Obviously, the Kubiak influence offense is going to focus on the tight end. That's something he said in these recent interviews while all these players are coming back, getting ready to work out together and whatnot for the OTAs. But he does a variety of other things than what Rudolph can do. We know Rudolph's not a great blocker. And I'm not going to say day one this guy's going to be able to block his ass off because it is another step up, obviously. But we have another weapon because he can catch the ball. We have another weapon, Aaron, and you never know what we're going to do or what the money's going to be with Rudolph. So at least we have a potential guy who can actually potentially, anyway, on paper, do a variety of things at a tight end. So next year, it's pretty awesome if we have both. But in the coming years, we really don't know what is going to happen with Rudolph. A lot of people think that he's getting, this is it, this is last year. He does seem like he's got a little bit of chip on his shoulder, kind of figuring out why why he hasn't been extended. Of course, he's making a pretty penny this year too, the last 2 years. So maybe it has something to do with that. And we've extended guys in this time frame. You know, in the next 3 months, you can still extend some guys. It just right now, it's hard to extend guys because you've got all sorts of other stuff going on, obviously. But I think for the future, Aaron, and for next year, we got ourselves what looks to be like a pretty damn good tight end. Best thing we've had coming out of the draft in quite some time, because usually we're reaching deep with our 18th, 7th round picks, you know?
That's true. And, you know, you got to think that the depth chart at Alabama is not hard to break into. And so, you know, he's got to be a pretty good player just to be a starter on that. And I think what we're going to see from him, you know, just with the short look, is he's speedy, he's quick, he can block. So I think he's going to maybe fill like an H-back type of role that first season, kind of maybe do some blocking out of the backfield, swing him outside sometimes, keep him in line blocking if we need a little bit of help. I think he's going to kind of be a versatile kind of player, maybe that we thought Conklin could be, but didn't really seize the opportunity that he had. And so I'm really happy with that pick. I think that for the first night of the draft, or the second, I thought that was a good way to start it off with Irv Smith Jr. You know, we do need a tight end. There was some rumblings about a two tight end set that Kirk liked a lot in Washington. So there could be a little bit of that going on. The Rudolph situation is dicey. We don't really know exactly what's going to happen there. Speculation is that they were going to maybe move him during the draft, which never happened. And that's four tight ends on a roster, potentially. You're not going to get rid of Morgan. He's essentially your blocking tight end. And Conklin is kind of up in the air now. So three to four tight ends is about where it's at, and you're not going to want that fourth tight end. And Rudolph's, you know, built equity. You're right, he's not a speedster, but he is sure-handed, and he's used to be good in the red zone. I don't know what's going on exactly with him last
season.
Wouldn't
he throw it to him?
Right.
I guess you got to throw it to be good, huh?
Right, and I think
he used to be a stud in the red zone.
So I think Irv Smith was a good addition to that tight end position. And then we move on to the third pick we had, which is 102 in the third round after all the moving back to acquire all the other picks. And Alexander Mattison, you had some things to say about him. What I know about him is that he's a bigger back, kind of like Latavius was, kind of a downhill guy with a little bit of juice and, you know, can get outside. But I think what you're going to try to see there is maybe just a power replacement for Latavius Murray. And it seems like a nice enough guy. He's got a good backstory. And so it'll be interesting to see how that works out.
Did you know that the Boise, they play on that blue turf? Yeah, you heard that one? You heard that one before? No, but he's a big back, like you said. And they towed him the rock. They gave it right to him and said, here you go, dude. In fact, it was last two seasons, 514 carries. So he's not afraid of toting it. And, you know, so durability has been huge for him. And, you know, knock on wood, our boy Cook, because, you know, once he's in Florida State or out of Florida State, he's a Viking, then he's our boy. You know, he was your boy, now he's our boy. And, you know, hopefully Cook can just really go nuts. But this dude is just solid. I've definitely seen him the last couple of years. You look at his numbers, he's durable. He's kind of that short yardage guy. Like you said, he's a big dude. It's nice. It's versatile, but it's because he can pass block and he can catch a little bit. But I don't know if we're going to be playing him, you know, for that reason. I think it's just a nice little mix, just a different pace of back. And Boise State has been producing a fair, like if you look at the last decade plus. They've been giving the league some backs in overall, and especially when he doesn't have to come in here and be the guy. You know what I mean? So I really like that pick. I think that's pretty solid. And just to really quick go back to our offensive line, if we feel like it's been, I hate to say rebuilt, but we're in the rebuilding mode. And if it turns out to be pretty okay, you know, not mediocre, a little step up from mediocre, average, let's put it. When you start to look at Irv Smith Jr., right, and when we can, like you said, those two tight ends, when we can have Rudolph and Smith Jr. out there to have Diggs,
Thielen, Cook, Rudolph, and Smith, pretty damn good lineup, and it really allows you to play action at that point, right? I mean, because you have to, if they got two tight ends, if we got two tight ends in, you do, all of a sudden you start to really worry about that run as well. Instead of having the 3 and 4 wide receiver sets, and it keeps fucking Treadwell off the field, right? But when you start to, I mean, it gives the linebackers and even some of the secondary guys in nickel and whatnot, it gives them a whole lot to think about. You know, it really does. And I kind of want to just add on to that what this Smith guy could give us this year and then ultimately, you know, what he can give us. Potentially, he might be our guy. You know what I mean? You never know. At some point, he, let's hope he is. That's how good he is. You know what I mean? But it'll be nice to have that both. But, yeah, this Mattson is just a downhill guy. He's the old, you know, kick your legs, keep moving your legs, get the knees high. You know, he's going to get that extra yard and then probably a little bit more, an extra yard more too. He's going to be like Leroy Horde, you know? If you need 3 yards, he'll get you 5. Or what was that? You need a yard, he'll get you 3. You need 5 yards, he'll get you 3. And I really think that this dude's going to fit in nicely. And, you know, the third-round pick nowadays, there were a plethora of running backs. That's I'm not going to say it's high to take a running back, but there were a fair amount of running backs on the board, so there had to have been something fit-wise that went with Mattson. And just imagine, you were talking about Rudolph getting traded potentially. That was the rumor, you're right. Imagine how many seventh-round picks we could have for Rudolph, dude.
Yeah, I mean, at least 5, right? At least 5 seventh-round picks for that. And nobody has that to give you. So you maybe have to work a couple six-rounders in there as well. But, yeah, I mean, like,
I think
Mattson,
we dropped the ball.
You know, and with Waynes and Rudolph, I mean, we're talking about seventh-round picks for the next 10 years, possibly. So, but, you know, with Mattson, I really think that, you know, it's Latavius Murray. They took a shot, like you said. They were looking for a guy to come in and fill that role. I think they liked the punch with Cook being the quick, fast guy, and then you have a power guy to hit him maybe in the fourth quarter. And I think that's kind of what they saw. There were a few backs that were still on the board, backs that you probably thought had a little more flash to them. But, you know, like you said, this guy's the workhorse. He's had a lot of carries, and he's made out pretty well, played at a decent program. And so I think that's kind of why they went with him as opposed to, like, you know, another maybe possible feature back, because you already have that in Cook, hopefully, if he can stay healthy. And, you know, and then we go on to get a guard center slash kind of guy out of Oklahoma. Now, just as Clemson had their whole defensive line drafted, Oklahoma had their whole offensive line drafted, except for one guy because he was a freshman. So, you know, obviously you're thinking you're getting that from a good line. You're getting, you know, a guy that everybody seemed to like. You got him at a good spot and something you needed. So I think all around in the fourth round, you kind of checked all the boxes on what you needed as far as another offensive lineman goes. And, you know, like I said, I could have used another offensive lineman in this draft, but, you know, I guess if you're going to talk about that fourth, fifth round, third round part of the draft was really the meat of the draft, and everybody's saying it was such a deep and talented draft. So I think, you know, you just go with that and you say, well, this kid's got a chance, you know, if he plays well, to come in and maybe push Klein for that other guard spot, maybe, you know, provide some depth at the guard and center position. So I think all in all, that's just a good, solid pick. Let's hope that he's a good selection as an offensive lineman, and we really can't count on him for depth.
Yeah, and I guess he does have experience playing the right tackle. So it sounds like he can, you know, in an emergency, he can help you out there. And, hey, you know, emergency and offensive lineman, that's been telling. We've needed them. And then a couple of years ago with Bradford at the helm, when Teddy got hurt, when we went through what, 7 tackles, we were bringing guys off the frickin' couch.
we were bringing guys that had already been in the Hall of Fame. Like, hey, buddy, I know you're 47, but hey, you think you can get us a couple downs? Just third down, just third and long. Could you block third and long? That's what we need. I think he's probably a depth guy who might be able to develop. That's still, you know, good. Like you said, the fourth round, I mean, that's a lot of guys in the fourth, fifth, and sixth for offensive linemen make a roster and maybe even, you know, start, but a lot of them have had good careers. Obviously, we know we just went over the interior linemen that we hadn't even had a first-round pick since 98 or 88. I keep saying 98. Cameron Smith, I believe he was kind of a highly touted guy coming out of coming out of high school into USC, the linebacker. We know we need some depth there just in general. You know, we do play a lot of nickel, so it does seem like he's kind of a guy that it seems like he might be speaking of nickel or speaking of maybe dime, speaking of just depth as far as, in the pass game. Seems like he might be a little bit better there than he is necessarily in the run game. But I've seen him flash in games, no doubt about it. I can't sit there and break him down too much, but that is the only fifth rounder we got, right? Because we started moving just a bunch of stuff. Yeah, you're right. He may have been mad that they didn't get defense players. The one-eyed captain of the ship, but he was just getting mad in general and frustrated along with everybody else because, including the writers who are waiting. You know, they got a deadline or are waiting to post, and Spielman just keeps knocking them back and back and back. And so we did get Armon Watts, a D tackle, Marcus Epps, the safety you were talking about. We also got, I mentioned that corner from Texas. I definitely remember him playing and remember him making plays because I did watch Texas a fair amount. That Chris Boyd, I think it is. His name, and then the rest of the Mitchell, I did see him from time to time. He's definitely a guy that's going to kind of take the top off your coverage. That's what it kind of looks like. Maybe a little bit like Robinson, just younger. We'll see if that's a mistake to get rid of Robinson. Who knows? Maybe he'll be back right at the end. Maybe we'll go through this stuff. We'll go through these mini camps and rookie camps. And then you look and go, you know, I just don't know if this is, yeah, let's bring Robinson back. Of course, maybe he gets cut from someplace and we get it back. You never know. We did bring the I don't know much about that Colorado State wide receiver. It seemed like he was productive based off his numbers. And then, of course, Austin Cutting is an accurate snapper who puts good zip on the ball. That's the breakdown for the long snapper, my friend.
And what more do you want from a long snapper? I mean, that pretty much is it. He puts a lot of zip on the ball and shows up. So I think that's what you need from him. I think that was a UDFA type of thing where you wanted him and you wanted to make sure nobody else got him. So you draft him the last pick, 250 in the seventh round. And going back, you know, I think Cameron Smith, the linebacker out of USC, he's a – it seems to me, just from looking, is like a special teams guy, maybe a guy that'll be really good in special teams on kick return, punt return, punt, you know, teams, and maybe, you know, fill in maybe a little bit at the inside spot on some third down situations, maybe a matchup type of guy that you can put in there if you got a tight end that's bothering you or something like that. But Kendricks pretty much has that spot locked down, so I think maybe, you know, Gideon. Maybe is a hammer as opposed to Smith will be, you know, a bit more savvy in there against the run. So I think that's a matchup type of thing. Maybe you need a quicker linebacker on third downs or on first and second down. It's hard to tell what they're going to do with that guy. Watts, like you said, defensive tackle. Now, I really thought we needed losing Sheldon. I really thought we needed somebody with some impact. And maybe, like they said, maybe they have somebody in mind. But and I'm not saying Watts can't be that. I'm just saying that, you know, as maybe looking for something a little more flash to it in the defensive tackle position just to kind of line up next to Linval, who's aging as well. So I think we'll be in the market for a nose tackle here in the next couple of years.
Epps the safety. I just like kids out of Wyoming. I'm from out there, and I just think that's a good thing to get. Seems to have good numbers out there. Seems like a good kid in his interview that I saw. So I think that's a pretty good, you know, position to fill and get some depth on with Harris moving up, like I said earlier. I'm really excited about this tackle, Chris. I've mentioned him a few times, and he's just a big kid, and I think he's going to be a bit of a project, kind of like the O'Neal thing. I really think he's got the size, and it looks like he's got the motion capability to really, you know, if we can get a left tackle like that in whatever round we got him at in the sixth round, you know, he's young for his age, came out a little early, I think, and he went to a small school, and he has only played football since his senior year in high school. And so I really think he's a guy to watch. Maybe he could rise up through mini camp and training camp and maybe, you know, get a nice hold on either the position next year and, you know, best case scenario, maybe this year, and maybe start to ask some questions about Riley Reiff, because I really don't – I like Riley for most games. I don't like him against the Bears. I don't like him against the Rams. I don't like him against strong rushers with some power to them. He seems to have trouble with that. The quick guys don't seem to bother him. It's the power that bothers him. And he's a big enough guy where that really shouldn't be an issue. Chris Boyd, another Texas cornerback, friend of Holton Hill. So, you know, Holton's had a bad off season. So hopefully, you know, that's not going to be a Chris Boyd issue too.
Hopefully not too good of a friend. Right, hopefully they're not too good a friend. We don't need them hanging out, for Christ's sake.
And I did see an Oregon game this year, and Mitchell really did stand out. He had Hebert was his quarterback at the time, and I guess his production dropped off once Hebert got hurt, which makes sense. But, you know, he did show up in that game, made a lot of catches for Oregon. But that's a tough room. I mean, you got to throw Chad Beebe in the mix there. That's a tough room to make the squad. I think the kid from Oklahoma last year is still kind of in the mix. And so, you know, that's a tough room to break. So, you know, it's going to be tough to make a spot at the wide receiver position. Same with the Johnson kid out of Colorado State. And so, yeah, I mean, Austin Cutting, star of the draft.
All we got to do is lock him up to a long-term deal. We should be getting that parade route figured out here. So, like you said, Jake Browning had a variety of talent, both defensively, and I know he doesn't play on that side of the ball, but it helps you as a quarterback. And offensively, right? And then as the parts left, he just, like his senior year, it just wasn't that good. It was almost like, I'm not going to say smoke and mirrors, but the fact that he didn't get drafted, if you look at not this last year, he struggled, but the 2 years before that, it does seem like system and talent around him, because this guy was pretty damn good. And for him not to get drafted, that's pretty crazy. I would not be shocked if that's our third quarterback coming in. I wouldn't be – well, I'm just going to slow down. I'll slow down. I was going to go more, but I don't want to go more. We also – and I'm looking at the compiled – this is the recent from 24/7 Sports, a compiled list of the undrafted free agents and mini camp invites. So we did get the Jake Browning – we got a tight end, Brandon Dillon. We got another center from Western Michigan, Western Illinois. We got a quarterback rookie camp invite. Got a cornerback. Of course, we got a cornerback, for Christ's sakes. Abernathy from Tennessee. Bemidji State. Uh-oh, he's a wide receiver. Bemidji State, Landon Jones, rookie camp invite. Could we be seeing another Adam Thielen in 6 years from now? I don't know. I do actually know that Colorado, Alex Wesley, wide receiver, Georgia Tech D end, got a D tackle from Miami who actually played at Illinois and transferred, was a senior transfer or graduate transfer, whatever you want to call it. And Davion Davis from Sam Houston State. That right there is the most current list I could find at the moment. I'm sure there's, others already added to that list. By the way, speaking of Adam Thielen, it sure is good to get him locked and loaded for, what is it, 4 or 5 years after the 2 years he already has. He's going to be a Minnesota Viking
for quite some time there, sir. What'd you think of that? We got that figured out. Now, at the end of next year is when we really would have had some problems. Like, all right, dude, are we going to – at some point we got to extend them. And it looks like we gave him a little bit more money this year and next year, but we really gave him a fatty deal. So he's going to be here for a while, man. And he's still got 2 years on his deal. What'd you think of getting Thielen wrapped up and just, you know, any other kind of loose ends that you want to tie up before we get the hell out of here, sir?
Obviously, that's a good thing, and it was inevitable. It had to happen. It was just a matter of timing, you know. Obviously, he seems like the type of guy you could go to and say, look, we got this much money this year we can give you. We can front-end load it. We can back-end load it. We can move some money around. He seems like a guy that would be amiable to doing something like that, and it seems like that's what they did. Obviously needed to get paid more. I think that Diggs still gets a little bit more, but, you know, Adam is the Vikings at this point as far as his PR is concerned, and he's a great player, so obviously I'm happy about him getting signed. I'm a little worried about, you know, if Daniil has another great season, he might want to restructure a little bit, get a little bit more money. We signed him on the cheap, and if he goes and has double-digit sacks, which I think he will this season, that's going to be a money issue for next year. I'm not sure, obviously, what the books look like for next year, but, you know, I think there's going to be some guys if they play well. But then, you know, we could lose a couple guys, Rudolph, Rhodes, Waynes. There'll be things coming off the books. So it'll be hard to tell. We'll have to look maybe, you know, later on in the year to see what that looks like. But obviously, keeping Adam Thielen was very important, and I'm happy that we did that.
And just real quick, Hunter, we're good on him. We're good on his extension. We didn't cheapen him. He got a 5-year, $72 million with $40 million guarantee. So he's $40 million guarantees and $15 million signing bonus. So he's not – we didn't – we got him good. We got him nice and good.
Well, that's good to hear. A little bit of note on minicamp. I'm not sure if it's going to happen, but last year we got a free agent out of Washington named Hercules Mata'afa. He blew out his knee in minicamp. I know Zimmer was really excited about him and what he could do with him, kind of an undersized defensive tackle. And they thought maybe move him to linebacker. Nonetheless, he blew out his knee, so I think he'll be back this season with a little bit healthier, hopefully, and ready to compete. I liked what I saw last year and the year before from him. I want to see if he can make the squad this year. Just seems to add a lot of different matchups. You can play him on the edge, play him inside, and even back him up as a strong linebacker. So I'm interested to see if he comes back and his football career isn't over. And I also, Abernathy, he sticks out in my head, the Tennessee cornerback that you mentioned as an undrafted free agent. He's one of those tall corners, I think, a 6'2 and above. I could be wrong, but I do see the last name on the back of a Tennessee jersey that played pretty well. And I think he's been there for a while. So I think that's a pretty good pickup in the undrafted free agent market as well.
Yeah, I'm glad that you added that nugget of that guy from last year. That's a good call. I do remember him saying he liked that. Any other things before we wrap this puppy on up? We will be back. Now, like I said, it's not quite May, so we're going to take a time off for the Purple People Eater podcast, okay? We are not coming back until after game one of the preseason. So that way we can kind of really look at this mini camp, look at any kind of moves or roster changes or trades or anything, and then get a really good look at that the first 10 days of camp in the game so we can really have something to sink our teeth in. So we will be back in August, and then from there on, you know, we're going to do 3 shows before the first week, and then we'll really be on a roll, and it'll be a week by week by week all the way to what we assume. No, I'm just kidding. To what we hope will be a Super Bowl for our Vikes. Anything else before we get on out of here, sir?
Nope. Kind of came around the horn. The draft is over. We just have to see how all the chips fall. And, you know, definitely got a lot of players, so we'll see who sticks and who doesn't.
There we have it. All right, you guys, enjoy the rest of the weekend. There's basketball. There's boxing. There's all sorts of stuff on tonight. Enjoy the weekend. And go Vikes. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, because you...